some reason I get going longer than I anticipate, just let me know and I'll wrap it up. Sometimes time does that. I don't really know what's going on. I do intend to keep it fairly short and to the point tonight. I think it's good for us. You know, the Bible said in Revelation, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." I think it's good for us to remember that we are professing believers and members of Living Faith Christian Fellowship. Living Faith Christian Fellowship. Tonight, you know, some of you might be thinking, I'm going to get up here and do what I normally do and try to get somebody to, you know, get serious about serving God or whatnot. Tonight I'm going to give you a break if you're in that class, and I want to talk to the ones whose heart God has touched and who have decided to take God serious. That I mean serious. And I don't care if we like the same vegetables, and I don't care if we have the same job, or if we like the same things. Anything in the world can differ except our commitment to Jesus Christ and our do or die commitment to God, His Word, His way, a selfless zeal for Christ. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk to those of you who might be where I was in my more struggling years in this commitment years ago. And I want to talk to you about some of the downfalls that you need to watch out for. I am not your cold water committee. I'm your friend. Okay? I'm going to help you understand some of the what zeal will focus on. How to respond. How to deal with it. I'm serious about loving the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. All my mind. All your mind? All your strength? I'm sure that I still have a lot of tempering that needs to be done. And probably as the older people look, they're like, probably so. Okay, I understand that and I'm okay with that. I still want to be tempered. I'm not there. I want to encourage you though. I'm not as worried about getting another one on the path right now. I got more to say for that as I am about if you're on this, if your heart has been touched by the Lord, by the messages around here, if you set out to serve the Lord, I don't want you to get cold water. I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to be okay with being a little bit odd and working through the struggles of trying to find out what exactly God wants you to do with your life. Amen. I work with these young children, and I see some of them pour their heart into it. They're not doing it because there's a switch, and they're not doing it because there's a carrot in front of them. They're pouring their heart into it. The switch is appropriate, and the carrot is appropriate. God gives heaven, and God gives hell. I'm not saying that. But then I see them kind of switch over into a mode where they're just diving into it. And I love that. It means a lot to me. And I sense a kindred spirit. I want to talk to those who hear and do. Capital D, capital O. Hear and do. If we were all here determined to do everything we heard. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
We're a lot of hearers and not doers, folks, and Jesus talked about that crowd, okay? When you really get serious with God, and you decide that when you hear, you know to do good, and you're going to do it. You hear about honoring your parents, and you're going to do it. You hear about honoring your church authority, and you're going to do it. You hear about honoring God and His Word, and you're going to do it. You hear specific teaching on it. You know it's right. You're going to do it. You're not going to sit there and agree that it's good. You're going to go home and you're going to make a plan how you're going to do it. You become determined to overthrow bad habits. Get out of old ditches. I was going to say ruts and ditches. You will become determined to get out. You won't stay in them and struggle with your carnal nature for the next 10 years on this problem. You'll be set free and going on your way, moving on to new things, climbing higher. 10 years, that will be in the books. That will be history for you. You'll have other struggles, but get past this one. Oh, I know I need to do better. Yeah. That's not actually the crowd I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to the ones who in their heart know what I'm talking about. And they're like, that's exactly how I feel. And you'll feel emotional about it. You'll feel the same emotion that I'm exhibiting right now. Because, and it looks like anger, but it's not. It's called extreme determination. And you will have to deal with it. You have to grit your teeth and deal with whatever you have to deal with. It's extreme determination. And that's all that will get your young soul through your teenage years into adult life on the right track.
Right.
People who are ready to sacrifice anything for Christ. Anything for Christ. Do you think it's a bad investment to sacrifice for Christ? Would you be able to rejoice that you were counted worthy to suffer for Christ? The race that we are called to run is a Hebrews 11 style race. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is not risk-free Christian fellowship. We're not a part of that fellowship either. Living faith, Christian fellowship. It's where I go to church. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you go through that whole list. People lost their lives. Some people had victory. Other people lost possessions. They had something in common. Extreme determination to be faithful. They had faith. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our real enemy is going to attack us through our mind, our desires, through our spirit. Our spirit is going to be attacked. He's going to try to derail you with your own idea. You need to be very zealous. When I said with all your mind, a large part of this battle is a battle in the mind. And then your mind directs what you do. And so when you set out to serve the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's all dealing with the interior. Your strength is what that all tells you to do. That's where you go invest your energy. You need to realize that the core of this battle is that. And if it can get you defeated through depression, if it can get you defeated through any type of discouragement, what people say, if that affects you, if a little bit of prestige affects you, if a little bit of loss affects you, whatever affects you, the devil's going to throw it at you, and he's going to try to trip you up early on. If you can make it through his obstacle course for some time, you'll build resistance to it. It doesn't mean you're bulletproof, and it doesn't mean you'll make it all the way to the end, but you'll build resistance to it. You'll get used to recognizing we're being attacked. You know what? I feel that way a lot. Sometimes I feel, I call it supernaturally discouraged is what I call it sometimes. Because I can tell this is not, I don't have any reason to be this discouraged. I've had some trouble, I've had a little bit of frustration, things aren't going quite right. But this is, like, really dragging me down. I feel like this is the devil's taking advantage of this opportunity to try to knock my feet out. And as soon as I can recognize that, I can start fighting it hard. I'm going to be honest. The best way to get over it is to get out and pray. And you can do this when you're 9 years old. You can do it when you're 8 years old. You can do it when you're 12 years old. You can do it when you're 15 years old. The best way to get over that type of discouragement is to get out and pray. Because you're not on your own unless you choose to be.
Right.
One of the greatest examples that I admired in the Bible was the example of Joseph and how he could be so mistreated by his family and those who were close to him, and yet the Lord is with him. It also means that he stuck close to the Lord.
Right.
But the Lord was with him. He knew how to be exalted and to be abased, and how to be exalted again and then abased again and then put to the very top. The devil tried everything pretty much with Joseph. And Joseph made it. Joseph didn't have his daddy there protecting him. He was brutally ripped away. Joseph didn't have anybody there protecting him except God. And Joseph wasn't that old either. Mm-hmm. Talk about a vulnerable time frame of life. He was in it. But Joseph had had a relationship with God, and he had extreme determination. And so he could be, you know, when I look at Joseph's life, knowing the character that he was and the heart that he had, I have to just say it was probably the hardest thing, the hardest test he ever faced was the false accusation. You've got to be willing to give that one to God. If you're out to serve the Lord with all your heart and you're trying to be a good testimony, nothing hurts worse than a false accusation and repercussions to boot. People believed it. That's even worse. You'll probably get that too. You've got to learn to give that to the Lord. You can't always right those wrongs. You'll have to just let time prove the truth. Time will prove the truth. The Lord will give you opportunities in time to prove whoever it is wrong.
That's right.
Joseph proved that. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, that one, I think, would be one of the hardest. He went through some really hard stuff. But I just know, trying to build a testimony, trying to do things right, and to have that happen, I think I'd rather died. And then he was promoted all the way to the top, and that didn't topple him off either. The Lord was still with him. Nothing was going to shake him loose. And I honestly believe that here tonight, there are some of you out there whose heart the Lord has touched in this way, and you've responded. We've had lots of good teaching, we've had lots of good preaching, and I honestly believe that there are kindred spirits out there in this group. And I think you know what I'm talking about. You may have already faced a lot of this. You may be older. You may have already faced a lot of this. Look at Daniel. Enemy country comes in, makes him a slave, makes him work in the palace. Nope, I'm not going to eat that meat. It was offered to an idol. Really? Really? You know, you lose your head over that. Doesn't matter. Nobody is getting me shook free from my commitment to God and what I know to be right. Nobody. Nothing. He feared him who, after he killed the body, could cast his soul into hell. Mm-hmm. And he risked his life many times. And Daniel went from the slave to a greatly honored man. Risked his life. He wasn't being good to become that. And he didn't stop being good to keep from being demoted. He ended up in the lion's den. He's going to give it all up for that. He's going to end up in the lion's den. No, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray the same way I always did. Because in that particular situation, he was praying to Jerusalem. And it would be a violation, it would be cowardice to change that. And he felt convicted that he needed to do it, and he did it. It's admirable. And he ended up in the lion's den. You can kill me, but you can't steal my faith. That's a determination you're going to have to carry with you in your life. All the way. I can die, but I won't deny my Lord. And when I say deny your Lord, I mean deny anything that you know He wants you to do. Anything. Zeal for God. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to think you know what's right, or you might know what's right. And you may have somebody else who's doing something wrong. And you're going to wonder, Lord, do I say something about this? I'm willing to speak out for you. I'm not afraid. I don't. And you may say, you may step out of line in a situation like that. You might. You might pick the wrong time. You might get a rebuke for it. Don't let that stumble you. Just learn from it. Listen, zeal for God is zeal for God. It's not zeal for you. Okay? Don't let that stumble you. If somebody corrects you for it, learn from it. If you feel like, you know, you have a relationship with God, you have to learn. Just because you got zealous for God doesn't mean we know everything. But your heart can be perfect before God without you knowing everything. And part of showing that you have a perfect heart is how you can take that. How you can take correction in a situation like that. And it can be difficult because usually you're going to feel like you did the right thing. Sometimes you may get in a situation where, you know, and you may be older. You may be an older person. You may be an older young person or whatever. And you may know that you did the right thing. Leave that with the Lord. He'll do the right thing and leave that with the Lord. If you're truly zealous for what's right, you're gonna be guided out of this. And your conscience is going to work. I'm not really afraid of giving the rebel an out here. If the rebel wants to be a rebel, he's a rebel already. Okay? If he wants to claim zeal and he wants to lie to himself, then that's his business. We're talking about people who are really serious. I want to be right with God. I want to serve God. I want to serve God. I want to be God's best friend. I want to be Abraham to God. I want to be God's friend. Okay? When you look at the heroes of the Bible, you just look at what did they do to become like that? They all started out as babies, okay? You can do the same thing. You have the same potential. You have your potential. They have their potential. You can reach your potential like they reached their potential.
That's right.
You cannot be stumbled by the devil saying, you're a nobody. You're just a kid. You're a nobody. Okay? Calm down. Cool off. Sorry. They all started out. They all had their mistakes. You can become God's friend as much as anybody could become God's friend. You can become a Noah, a Daniel, or a Job.
Right.
Okay? So, that's the card I'm talking to. If somebody else listens in and they take a principle that I'm talking here and they want to run with it, you just go do that and you're going to be really sorry about that. So, there are times, though, when somebody under authority has an authority that's not in tune with God and they have to learn how to deal with it. Thankfully, I was raised in a godly home and had a father that was zealous for what was right. Zeal for God is going to take care, just like Jesus said, take the beam out of your eye before you deal with the mote in somebody else's eye. Now listen to me. Once you've tried to do that, and you've tried to get all your ducks in a row, and you're trying to do it right, conscientiously, and then you go try to help get the mote out of the eye, they're not going to tell you that you got the beam out. Thank you for getting yours out first. I appreciate the way you went about that. You did it right. They're not going to tell you that. And you're going to be left wondering, I hope I did that right. Lord, did I do that right? He may give you a correction. He may give you comfort that you did it okay. They're not always going to like it. Okay? That's a fact. They're probably going to say, get the beam out of here. I clean your own backyard up. Look, you got to say, you think you're perfect? You know what? Just let that kind of stuff go. Don't let it make you mad. Just let that kind of stuff go. Just if you let it stir you up, you're falling into the snare of the devil, this principalities and powers, the spirit, the spiritual warfare. You're letting those things affect you. You can't let it do that. Just let it go. You did your part. Zeal for God is not rude. Okay? You might think I'm a little bit rude sometimes up here, but I try not to be. I'm trying to be like straight honest with you. Okay? Zeal for God is courteous to others. Even if there needs to be a correction. It's not rude or impolite to stand next to Jesus in a situation when all your friends are against you and say, This is inappropriate. I don't think that joke was funny. Guys, I think this is getting out of line. I don't think the parents would approve of this. You will feel and be called probably a dirtball or a fly in the soup. You probably will be treated that way if you're in a group of friends like that. Well, nice that we have good Christian friends around here. You'll never have to worry about that. That's wrong. That's wrong. Okay? If you think that, you're just naive at this point. You'll be educated soon. And you're going to be like, man, I felt uncomfortable with the way that was going. And I didn't know what to say. And you know, in some situations, it may not be your place to say anything. You may need to go alert an authority. But if you are in a situation where you could just be participating with the rest of them, then you can participate. Okay? And you can say, guys, I don't think this is honoring to the Lord or the authority. That's one of the hardest things you're ever going to find yourself saying. It's amazing how hard it is to identify with the Lord by yourself in a group of friends. You feel extremely vulnerable. That's a fact. Especially if they all thought it was funny. Not very many people are willing to do that. Why in the world wouldn't we be willing to do that? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? All of it? Why wouldn't you be willing to do that? That would be really tough. Some of us have done that before. Some of us know how tough that is. If indeed you are a courteous person, you truly love your neighbor as yourself, you truly care about what's going on here, it's really tough. You probably thought I was going to say it might get easier. It's really tough. If you're a rude individual already, you could do it out of rudeness to look better. I'm not talking about someone like that. I'm talking about someone who really cares. You're going to need to do that in your life. You're going to have to commit yourself to doing that in a proper way. Now, if you're a lady and you're in a group and there's, you know, and you're going to be rebuking a man or somebody out of your place, I'm not asking you to get out of your place. You don't get out of your place. That's another thing. Zeal is really tricky. It'll get us out of our place a lot of times.
Yeah.
It's really tricky. Zeal will deal with me first. Make sure I'm in my place and then move. The most zealous person will be most zealous towards themselves. Okay?
That's right.
A lot of times if there's a need, you're going to pray and you're going to intercede for this situation for a while because you really, really care. And then you're going to go ahead and just go do what's hard and safe. Okay? The Lord will give you direction on how long that needs to go on. Zeal for God. This one's going to hit. Zeal for God. Real zeal for God is mostly seen by God alone. Mostly seen by God alone. I say that because you're going to deal with yourself. You're going to make sure you're right with God. You're going to have all kinds of preparation in your heart before you do an action because you want to make sure it's right. Now, unless you're caught in a moment where you just have to give a rebuke, your heart will be right in a situation like that, hopefully, to do that. But zeal for God is mostly seen away from church. Because you're not at church most of the time. And your zeal for God is mostly going to be seen by God. Because He's going to see it in when you're praying. He's going to see it in your life, in your thoughts. God sees your thoughts. And He's going to see that zeal all the time. He's going to see every problem that's thrown at you. And you're going to be like, okay, what would be the best? How's the ramifications? How's this going to affect the testimony? Okay, now do I avoid it just for look's sake? I think it's the right thing to do, but people could misunderstand this. So you got to weigh all that factor in. Sometimes you go, I'm not going to do it because of what it would look like. Sometimes you go, I have to do it and let things clear up. Or you may go get some advice. There's going to be a lot of that that's going to happen when you start really trying to do that. As a young person, there's a lot of struggle, okay, that you're going to deal with when you start really trying to serve the Lord. There's a lot of struggle. One of the hardest things you might ever hear is somebody who starts talking about zealous young people in a belittling way make you feel like stupid or make you feel like dirt or make you feel ignorant. That may be one of the hardest things you ever hear. For me, I would say, sometimes, if that wasn't said carefully, sometimes that would hurt. And it could be said from some derogatory friend, it could be said from somebody, you know, it could be said from a well-meaning person even that didn't really think about how that was hurting the feeling, or hitting the feeling. Maybe I was oversensitive, you might be a little oversensitive too. It is a sensitive topic. You don't want to be that way. And so just realize that if something's said like that, take it and listen and see if there's something you need to learn out of it. But remember, you're zealous for the Lord, not yourself. Okay? So that will carry you through all those situations that are like that. It's not zealous. If you're being zealous for the Lord so that you can gain admiration of a young lady or a young man, your zeal for the Lord is going to be challenged. It's not zealous for the Lord at that point. But if you're looking zealous for the Lord for that reason, then I would say God is not going to be the most one who sees your zeal. It's going to show up at these certain little blips at certain times, and you're going to be so uncomfortable with how you did that, and you're going to look awkward in the middle of it because it doesn't come natural, and you don't really know how to operate in this realm. But you're trying to make a good testimony. Okay, that's a real show and a real facade that people get behind, and they do it for those reasons. That's just a fact. Real zeal for the Lord in your life will take criticism. Not just someone who's talking about zealous young people, but someone who just criticizes you. You'll take it well. You'll take a false accusation well. You'll understand that as a Christian, you have no right to get all up, bent out of shape or upset about a false accusation. Half the time it's coming from a person who despises your zeal for the Lord. Okay? Feels convicted by it. Half the time. Sometimes, many times, that person has a nugget of truth in there. And if you're really zealous for the Lord and not yourself, you're going to look for that. Because a lot of times they'll take a nugget of truth and turn it into something that's a false accusation, and there'll be some truth in that. And you will learn to evaluate it. It'll hurt. You'll learn to evaluate it. It won't shove you off course. It's not going to distract you. There's been many people in my life who've thrown many false accusations at me. Some of them were totally empty of truth, and some of them actually had a nugget of truth there. And I tried to hone myself to try to adjust for that, to avoid that accusation being ever any legitimacy to that. You will definitely take constructive criticism well. You'll make somebody feel very comfortable to come and talk to you about it. And you'll be glad to give an answer for why you did what you did, or just say you're sorry. Zeal for the Lord will try to observe and imitate God. Well, that sounds like a no-brainer. It is fairly complicated, and that's why I said observe. You watch the way God deals with principles in His Word. He hates and He loves. What does He hate and what does He love? How does He hate and how does He love? And you're going to try to form your character to that. And you're not going to find yourself just bad-mouthing somebody just to bad-mouth somebody. You're going to find yourself cringing a little bit when you feel like that's going on. You're just like, I don't even want to be part of that conversation. That's not productive. It's going to feel uncomfortable. But you're going to know that that's not... That's coming from selfishness, or that's coming from just, you don't care about that person. True zeal for the Lord is going to look at a need in another's life and go, they need help. You know, young people, here's something you can think of. When you see your parent make a mistake, or when you see your church authority make a mistake, or when you see someone that's over you make a mistake, are you wanting to pick them apart? Or do you actually care about them and care enough about the ways of the Lord to go, I need to pray for them. I wish I wouldn't have provoked them to act that way, because I want them to be right with God too. And if you made a mistake, you will definitely make it right. If you're the one I'm talking to tonight, you'll definitely make it right. And you'll feel really bad about the fact that you might have encourage something to come out of somebody else that maybe wasn't appropriate. The last thing you're going to be doing is spreading that or trying to tear them down over that. You're going to care about everybody in your life, including those over you who used to be just the boss. And you're going to be like, I want everybody to be right with God. So I'm going to do my place. You know, you're going to be the wife that's chaste and trying to win her husband by a chaste conduct. You're not going to look at him as a tyrant and he's ungodly anyway. I don't want to listen to him. No, I'm trying to win you and I have a position here. I'm trying to win you with that. You're going to have that same attitude towards your father, your mother. You're going to have the same attitude towards your church authority. You're going to have the same attitude towards your brother in the church. You're going to try to win them. If you're not in a position to correct them, you're going to try to win them by your conduct. You're going to try to reach out and love that person. He's an oddball over there. He's kind of crazy. Everybody thinks he's funny. Your heart, you're going to be like, hey, he needs help. He's a soul. Because you're going to start loving. You will have been observing what God loves. And you'll be like, that's not God's basis of loving or not loving somebody. God doesn't hate it that he was a little bit silly or said something silly. And you're going to come alongside and want to help that person. Nothing is going to rub you raw. You can be disgusted with wrong behavior and go pray about it and learn how to, and come up with a way to try to deal with it. But this thing of rubbing me raw is my feelings are being rubbed by something you're doing. That aspect should never be in a Christian life. If you're going to walk close to the Lord and you want to be God's friend, He needs to see that you are His ambassador trying to represent His will to His creation. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And when they spew back, when they did that to Jesus, didn't throw Him off course. And it shouldn't throw you off course. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you believe, with the Bible definition of believe, you really believe to the point of action that He is and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him, you're going to do that. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. That's your attitude. And there's been many times I've sang that song, and I think that's what a lot of the world thinks. Jesus can bear that cross alone, and I'll go free. You taking up your cross daily and following Christ is not a promise of a smooth road to heaven. It is rather the opposite. If you think that you're going to get there on a smooth road, one with the little least amount of sacrifice, one that doesn't ask too much, one that doesn't embarrass me too much, wouldn't want to be embarrassed for Christ. You know, it's amazing how when it's a friend you love, how willing you are to identify and be with them and be funny with them and be silly with them or be foolish with them. You identify with them. You don't mind. Not asking you to be silly or foolish with Christ. I'm asking you to be willing to lay down your ideas about yourself. Be willing to let your image in society be with Christ. And be content with that. 849 says, song number 849, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause, or blush to speak His name? I'd like to take a lot of the songs that we sing and dissect them thoroughly, make you think about what we're singing, okay? Mm-hmm.
They're good.
If I get to the courtroom of God and He starts accusing people of being liars, because of the songs they sang. Folks, he starts doing that. I'm being serious with you. You're gonna be wishing that you'd done what I'm talking about tonight. Fully surrendered, Lord divine, I'll be true to thee. Though it may cost me friend and home, everything, I give everything. You say, it says it so clear and everywhere, there's no way out of that on that song. He starts telling people, look at how many times you said this. They're like, oh, I was just singing. You said it. Out of your own mouth, I condemn you. Mm-hmm. If he starts doing that, I hope you're okay. I'm going to say there's a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that I love that aren't okay. And that really breaks my heart. And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Yeah, I told an old guy the other day, you know, he needs to stop using the Lord's name in vain. Hey, that's good. That's good. It's hard to do that sometimes when you're trying to be buddies. Come on, 15-year-old, when you're in your group of friends at church, things are getting out of hand. This isn't honoring the Lord. I don't think we're honoring the authority here. Come on, 15-year-old. Come on. Are you zealous? Are you going to blush to speak his name? Are you going to blush to stand up into a crowd of kids? They're going to be like, oh, come on, come on. We're not doing anything wrong. Come on. They know in their heart they are. And they're going to say that because they profess to be a believer just like you do. They're going to say that. Okay? Be appropriate how you go about it. Be careful. Don't be a knucklehead. I've been that before. But you can say it. Or you're not a soldier of the cross. A soldier and a cross, folks. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Which heaven are you going to anyway? I say that all the time. That verse is about the one I couldn't even remember the first verse. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to find the song. Because the one I remember is, must I be carried to this? When I'm having a hard time, when I know it's going to be hard, I often will quote that to myself. I'll be going down the road and gritting my teeth, like, oh, it's going to be hard. And then I just blurt it out as loud as I can. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Tell yourself. There ain't probably going to be anybody else that can sit there and tell you. And do what you know is right. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. If God's in it, I'm in it. If it's supported by your word, if I know that it's the right thing to do and I'm doing it the right way, it's do or die. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Don't expect to wear a crown till the battle's over. Are you a soldier of the cross? Talking to every class of people. I'm talking to mostly to a particular heart condition. Tonight is what I'm appealing to. I don't want you to be discouraged. There's going to be so much discouragement. There's going to be so many times you want to say, I quit. You're scaring the devil to death. He doesn't like people that get zealous like that. People that look him in the face. People that look at a challenge and go, I can see he's going to come around this way. He's going to come around this way. And he's going to try to get me this way and then this way so that I don't go ahead and go forward here. So, okay. Then you got a family, you got to watch out because he's going to try to get you through whatever avenue he's going to make this happen or whatever. He's going to try to jump in there. You got to be, okay, now he's going to try to short my fuse because I'm already bracing for it. So now he's going to try to make me stressed out. Okay, can't do that. Now he's going to try to hit it from this angle. That guy knows what he's doing. He's a master at it. It's a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. Forget about what's going on in the physical world. Be tuned into the spiritual world and move forward.
Right.
Be tuned in. Every angle. It will surprise you how many times, if you're really tuned in, you'll feel it coming from different angles. Many times you don't know. It may stop you in your tracks and be like, okay, Lord, refresh me. And I'm not 100% sure anymore. There's been some new circumstances here. Make sure I'm doing the right thing. Be careful. But don't let it change your heart condition. The Lord will give you strength. He'll give you courage. You can become what anybody became except the Lord Jesus Christ. You can become a friend of God. Doesn't matter if you're the only one. Noah all by himself. You can do it. Don't get discouraged. Be strong. You're going to watch a lot of your friends come and go over the years, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You're going to break ties with them. The more you love, the more you love the Lord and reach out with a zealous heart, the more it's going to break your heart when that happens. It's not going to be good riddance of anybody. And if you hear someone saying that you knew didn't care about them, it's going to make you upset, and rightly so. You're going to care about that person. That's going to hurt. You can't let it stop you. It's going to make you jump in for the next one and give it all you got. I hope that there were some hearts in here that feel it. Feel what I'm talking about. And if I can just keep one or two or three of you or five of you, I don't know, from getting discouraged along the way. You know, some people said some important things to me while I was a young person still, and they just dropped a word along the way, and it made so much, I still haven't forgot it. Saying something along the way. I want tonight to be something like that for you. If you need a friend, you got a friend here. I may not understand your situation exactly, but I understand the fight. He understands the fight. You've got friends here that do understand. If you want a reason to get out, if you're discouraged and you want a reason to get out, you can find an excuse. You can find an excuse. You can find an excuse in this church, probably, from somebody, a friend in this church, that would help you come up with a logical reason of why you shouldn't do what you know you ought to do. I guarantee it. 100% sure. Do what you know is right. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do what you know is right and never give up.
Amen.
And you've got a year coming to do that. So much to be said on that topic. But I have a question. Can you say amen to every sermon that is not heresy? There's great peace there.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're sold out to the Lord, it's not about you.
Right.
When you have the heart that he was talking about, you've got to make sure it's zeal for God and not zeal for me. He said that. I know a lot of people who get zealous for God, and having been around a while, I say, I kind of think that's zeal for something that you came up with. But time will tell.
Right.
As they grow.
Like you said, you're very careful not to put water on that because it may be immature zeal.
Right. But zeal is humble.
Right.
You know why? Because true zeal is your own worst critic. And true zeal is more apt to agree with your critics because you hate your sin more than anybody.
Amen.
True zeal is going to be more apt to agree with your critics. And true zeal is going to get upset with critics, not because of you, but because of the damage to the cause. People who throw mud at me, I don't fight against it or get upset because of me. I get upset because of the cause. I know I am crucial. I have a crucial role to the cause. And when people like the Jim Politic and people like that go online and try to smear our church, it's not about damaging me. He can't damage me personally, but he sure can hinder the cause. So this heart that truly takes God serious, you're not going to want to hinder the cause by getting in the way. I remember as a young man in my bedroom at home going to high school being frustrated because I felt like I would let the Lord down. Praying, God, if somehow you could just take this body, get me out of here and put Jesus in here and do things perfectly, appropriately, right, and just kind of get me out of the way, it would be wonderful. Well, that's not going to happen. I just had to grow up. I had to learn. We have a year ahead of us. We want to start that year on our knees. It's 10 till 12.